From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, beaming this signal across the continent, across the world, via your iHeartRadio app. Also, JoshuaPWarren.com, SpeakingOfStrange.com, and News Radio 570 WWNC. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Good Saturday night to you, Sam the Animal Steel, sitting in the hosting chair, joined tonight by my guest, hostess with the mostest. It's Erica Jane. You might know her from around town playing music. You might have seen her with her whip. Whipping it good, like Devo. You know, we used to play in a band together, Red Honey. I had scars from that whip.
Oh, really now?
Well, you know, not permanent, but they would, you know, they would, after certain shows, you would get a little crazy with the whip. And be like, I'm going to hit Sam's guitar. And let's just say you weren't like the Annie Oakley of the whip. I'm trying to think, like, who was a famed whipstress. And you were not her. I mean, you were good. You were good with the whip. Way better than the average bear.
You're in dangerous territory, Sam.
I was in dangerous territory when I was on the other end of a 6-foot-long bullwhip on a 4-foot stage.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, the hits Glamella played.
Yeah, I think we should do it again sometime.
We should. And how is the whip coming? Have you been...
I did. I mean, I did a show with some other friends.
Oh.
I know. I'm so sorry. But and it was on Halloween, we did a show at the Orange Peel, and it was the name of the project is the Fox Force Jive, and it's all covers from Tarantino movies.
I was going to say, that's...
Yeah, so the whip I wrote again.
The Fox Force 5 was the... The Uma Thurman vehicle in Pulp Fiction, was it? So it was supplemented with Jive.
Jive.
The Fox Force Jive.
Yes.
That's very interesting. You had also, back in the day, Red Honey used to do a Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, we did we did the whole soundtrack from beginning to end in
that
order.
That was prior to me.
That was there. Prior to you being there. That was like kind of what we started doing when we were getting out of town. Pushing our own music, we would kind of, you know, bill it as a thing, kind of all together, and it went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had some good times.
We played all over.
We did.
I mean, we were like on the go. We're like...
I was thinking about that on the way.
Nashville.
Where was
Folly
it?
Folly Beach.
I was on the way over here tonight and...
Georgia.
I was thinking about...
All through the Squatch Country.
Yes, all through Squatch Country. Something triggered something in my head. I was like, oh, it brought back to mind I couldn't remember if it was a good or a bad experience, but it triggered a Red Honey on the Road experience. Some of those trips back could be awfully quiet.
What do you mean?
Sometimes they were fun, sometimes they were quiet. That's
yeah,
all I'm saying.
That's true.
And when they were quiet, things either people were passed out or people were butt hurt over something.
You know, that's... True.
For those people who don't play in bands, you don't realize how sometimes the music is not the first thing. It's people's fragile little butthurt egos. And but I'm not naming names or anything. By any means, it was usually me. I was usually that guy.
The quiet guy?
The butthurt guy. I'm just Sensitive Sam.
Yeah.
Sensitive Sam. So, I was looking at some news, some stuff that was popping up on my news feeds here on the internet. You know, here in Asheville, you've been here for quite a few years now, right?
Like 11.
11.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here closing in on 3 decades. 3 decades of the best classic Sam.
You must have moved here when you were born then, huh?
Oh, you're so sweet. No, I moved here when I was a freshman in high school. The day before my freshman year, knowing nobody. Getting thrust into a public school for the first time in my life at A.C. Reynolds. Oh, the Cedar Cliffs look down upon the fairest and the best school of all. Those who went to Reynolds will pick up on my alma mater, our school song there. But here in Asheville, I'm sure you're familiar with Helen's Bridge.
Yes.
You've been to Helen's Bridge, probably?
Sometimes I like to just drive up there and drive through it, yeah.
I haven't been up there in a while. I know that they the cops are a little bit more, you know, up there now. Like back in back in my day, should I say, as you're much younger than me.
It's true.
like, you know, you would party up there and stuff. I think that, you know, you can't do that maybe as much as you used to. It's not a really good escape route. You know, if you see headlights coming and it's the cops, you're kind of screwed. It's not like you can just hide. Your car is going to be up there, whatever. But I found this thing. It was a news story about a bridge, very similar. It's a bigger bridge than Helen's Bridge mm-hmm. in Avon, Indiana. And it says, this was the headline on it, which made me, you know, some say clickbait. It worked because I clicked on it. A bridge to another dimension discovered in shock paranormal clip. And we had just, at some point in that last segment, we had talked about, you know, other dimensional, you know, portals and whatnot, which is very interesting. You know, I mean, we could go down that rabbit hole as well. I get very intrigued by the thought of other dimensions. I had talked about Fringe very briefly. Don't know if you ever watched that show. I'm not a huge sci-fi guy, but that was such a good show. And one of the reoccurring themes was that there was another universe that's basically exactly the same as ours, but very different. And in that universe, the Twin Towers were still there. In that universe, Zeppelins were still being used as a mode of transport. And so, like, there, you know, there was another you and another me. Maybe I had like a darker beard and less gray hair, and you had like black
hair.
And a Volvo. Yeah. Because in another universe, I take my car safety very seriously. Maybe in another universe, I have kids. Who knows?
Right.
And then there's like, you know, the theory that like there are an infinite number of universes with an infinite number of us's in them. Doing an infinite number of things like that's pretty wild when you start like thinking about it. It makes your brain hurt.
It does. You or know, sing.
just thinking about like, okay, if there's one other universe, why couldn't there be 1,000 or 1,000,000 or an infinite number? Space is a very vast place. Well, in this clip, apparently a narrator details a story about this haunted bridge in Avon, Indiana. And they talk. Well, I'll play you the clip here. And at the very end, they talk about it being a portal. Here is the clip about the haunted bridge in Indiana.
Relatively unremarkable, if not for an imposing bridge at its entrance. The bridge has become such a clear part of local identity that the town seal features it, but some do not want to be associated with the bridge in any way. Dark legends about the bridge go back to before it was even opened. They say that during construction of the bridge, one worker was drinking on the job when he stumbled and fell into a pit of wet cement. As no other workers were within earshot, that pit of cement became his grave. His century-old skeleton is still inside the bridge, and every train that passes over it shakes his ghost into awakening. That's just one of countless legends explaining a strange phenomena. Ask around the surrounding town and you'll hear that if you walk under the bridge at night, or while a train is passing over, and you'll hear ghostly moaning. Some say only one legend can be true, while others say multiple ghosts occupy the area. The most notorious legend tells of a young mother walking her baby to the local doctors. There was a heavy rainstorm outside, but the baby was sick and so the journey was necessary. While crossing the bridge, she slipped on the tracks and fell to her death. The child also died from the fall. With the ghostly moaning, some claim to hear the sounds of a baby crying in times of heavy rain. A much lesser known legend gives a different explanation for the strange noises. It tells that the bridge is a gateway to another dimension, and that crossing it on the anniversary of its opening will take you away from this world.
Please, take me away. Take me away from this world. I mean, I can only hope.
With Calgon.
It's sort of like, you know, like there was a lot of stuff in there that didn't pertain to the bridge being a link to another dimension. And at the very end, it was kind of like a bridge to another dimension, if you go on the anniversary. But that was not ever... but, I mean, that's kind of crazy, you know, like mom carrying a baby in a rainstorm. And the people listening couldn't see the awesome animation that went with that. It looked like a hailstorm on a bridge. It was like... It looked like Pong, really. I'm not dissing. It's better animation than I could make. But, yeah, so there's that similar bridge stories. What did you have over there you were talking about? You see, like we talked about the Sasquatch, did a whole hour on the Sasquatch, and you're over there still finding attracted. You are attracted to Sasquatches. I think in some sort of unhealthy way.
It might be true. Like, I definitely freak myself out to the point where I'm like, I got to come back. I've gone to a special place in my brain.
So what was the story you were talking about? Supernatural Sasquatch?
Interdimensional Sasquatch.
Interdimensional Sasquatch.
The green flash, because they say like there's like this flash of green sometimes that happens in the woods. And why we'll never find a body. And that's the theory, that the Sasquatch is an interdimensional traveler.
We'll go further down, explain.
Well, you know, that it brings you back to like the missing persons 411. They say animals like act weird that day. There's always like a thunderstorm or something after the person goes missing, or a Sasquatch sighting.
Right.
Like it's like if you think about what it would take for the universe to allow someone to go to another universe, like the portal, to absorb the energy of that. It seems likely that there would be some thunder and lightning and rain.
Well, I'm kind of confused as to how that's tying in any way, shape, or form to a Sasquatch. How is that tying into an interdimensional?
Because the body has never been found. You know, really, like the remains of a Sasquatch. Like, do they bury their dead, or what happens?
Even
to
their poop.
Dead?
You think they would find more poop? Where's the Sasquatch poop? Do they bury that? You know,
they dig a hole.
But, I mean, I guess I'm still slightly confused as to how, you know, the Sasquatch is now trans.
Well, that's part of the mystery of it, Sam.
Well,
speaking of strange.
Apparently so. Thank you for that in-depth and hard-hitting story on interdimensionals. I was all excited there for a minute. I was like, cool. And then you're like, it faded a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God.
You know, maybe we'll get some more info on that. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual on News Radio 570 WWNC. Brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. Log on to HauntedAsheville.com today and book your tour around downtown Asheville. Find out all the cool stuff that you might not have known about your own backyard. Those tours do sell out quick. We'll hop back right after the break here on Speaking Strange. You are listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Sam, the animal steel. Erica Jane.
Yes, Sam.
I was trying to come up with a impromptu Erica the something Jane. It just fell flat. So Erica Jane, co-host with me this evening on this Saturday night. Hope I find you in good health and good stead and good humor as well. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. And I was reading, I was just going through some stuff that had popped up in my feed over the last week. Maybe I should have a segment called, like, The Feed. I don't know.
Let's see if that's taken.
Well, I'm sure it is somewhere. I mean, but one of the things is reality, Erica. What is reality?
Well, that's an excellent question.
That's a deep question. How am I to know for sure that you're even sitting across from me right now?
I can pinch your arm.
Yeah. And I could feel pain, but yeah. How do I know that that's real? How do I know that's reality?
I don't know. Do you do that thing like when you are dreaming, the lucid dreaming, like do you say to yourself, am I awake now? Do you have like those tricks?
No, we talked about lucid dreaming 2 weeks ago, I think. We did a bunch on that. And oddly enough, you know, I had said during that show that I typically don't dream. And or if I do, I don't remember. You know, they say you only remember dreams for, you know, a few minutes after you wake up, usually. Now it was this morning. Now I can't even remember it now. But I did have a dream last night that I remembered, and I had gotten up. I was awake, and I had heard a song the night before. I was driving in the car, heard a song, and then that manifested itself in my dream because the band, whoever it was then in my dream, and they were, like, doing stuff. Like, we were on, like, some sort of Scooby-Doo adventure or something. It was, like, me and Rancid or something. I don't know. And it was really weird because, like, I thought it, and then I dreamt it, and then it was there. But
And that's the thread, right? Like the
I think that's
coincidence.
That's part of the lucid dream thing is like you manifest it so that it happens in your dream world and you just go right to it. But dreams, are those real? Is that reality? Is that a portion of reality? I mean, I'm asking. I don't really know what reality is, and my ideas of reality got even more bent after I read this article from Quartz. It says, consciousness permeates reality. Rather than being just a unique feature of the human subjective experience, it's the foundation of the universe, present in every particle and in all physical matter. Now, that could be dismissible, like, you know, ho-hum or whatnot. But as traditional attempts to explain consciousness continue to fail, the panpsychist view... is increasingly being taken seriously by credible philosophers. Philip Joff, a philosophy professor at Central European University in Budapest, Hungary, your alma mater, says, why should we think common sense is a good guide to what the universe is like? Einstein tells us weird things about the nature of time that counters common sense. Quantum mechanics run counter to common sense. Our intuitive reaction isn't necessarily a good guide to the nature of reality. I didn't know that this was even a thing. A philosophy of mind professor, David Chalmers at New York University, laid out the hard problem of consciousness in 1995, demonstrating that there was still no answer to the question of what causes consciousness. Traditionally, two dominant perspectives, materialism and dualism, have provided a framework for solving this problem, but both of those lead to seemingly intractable complications, as the materialist viewpoint states that consciousness is derived entirely from physical matter. It's unclear, though, how this would work, as it would be very difficult to get consciousness out of non-consciousness. Now, starting to get, like, it's twisting my brain up a little bit. Very hard to get consciousness out of non-consciousness. Physics is just structure. It can explain biology, but there's a gap. That gap? Consciousness. Dualism holds that consciousness is separate and distinct from physical matter, but then that raises the question of how consciousness interacts and has an effect on the physical world. So panpsychism offers an attractive alternative solution. Consciousness is a fundamental feature of physical matter. This is kind of messed up, or not messed up, it's just kind of mind-bending for sure. Every single particle in existence has an unimaginably simple form of consciousness. That means that everything, like this table, this console, these headphones, is awake, is conscious in some way, shape, or form. These particles then come together to form more complex forms of consciousness, such as our human subjective experience. This isn't meant to imply that particles have a coherent worldview or an actively thought process, but merely that there's some inherent subjective experience of consciousness, and even the tiniest particle going down to, you know, the atom, down to the quark, you know, what have you. Panpsychism doesn't necessarily imply that every inanimate object is conscious. They don't say that, like, tables and other artifacts to be conscious as a whole, but rather that the table could be understood as a collection of particles that each have their own very simple form of consciousness. So that, again, leads us to what is consciousness? Are we the only things on Earth that are conscious? My fish at home, Emerelda. Emerelda the beta, who is thriving and doing well at several years old now. Is Emerelda conscious?
And to what degree is her consciousness, you know?
It's a he. Oh. It sounds like a she name, but...
It really does.
I didn't name it, but if you knew anything about betas, you'd know that the men, the boy betas are the pretty ones, and the girls are the plain Jane ones.
And they like to fight.
You can't put two of them in the same tank.
Nope.
But they're fighting. Are they conscious of that fact that they're fighting? Are they, you know, like when I go to feed the fish and it sees me, it seems to get excited. It wiggles its tail around and everything. But is it thinking like, oh, there's that tall guy that's feeding me? Or is it just like, I know that at this time of day, typically I get food flakes rained on me from the heavens. From some god of...
praising
some god
the tall
of,
guy that drops...
you know, bloodworms or whatever. You know, I mean, is it conscious of the fact that it's in a... its entire universe is this 5.5-gallon tank in my living room?
I don't know. I mean...
I don't know either. You know, this is kind of strange. This is what drew me to this article in the first place. It says that panpsychism could very well imply that conscious tables do exist. Tables like this right here. One interpretation of the theory holds that any system is conscious. Rocks would be conscious. Spoons would be conscious, which really makes my eating cereal every morning seem lascivious. if the spoon is conscious and I'm just like... licking all over it, you know, like, am I violating the spoon?
Some good cereal.
That is some good cereal. What's your favorite cereal?
Lucky Charms.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't eat cereal very often.
I saw that they have, like, Lucky Charms Frosted Flakes now.
That is crazy. They're taking it to the next level.
Are they, or are they just running out of ideas?
I don't know.
When it comes to cereal, it's like, I hate, they do all the cookie ones, and you get excited, and it's like, Mocha Frappuccino flavor. It's all the same gross cereal. They just put thick flavoring on. We need new innovations in cereal. next segment. New innovations in cereal. What is next? What does the future hold? Is cereal conscious?
It's like bacon maple, like frosted waffle cakes.
Frosted waffle cakes, you say?
Bacon maple frosted waffle cakes.
And I'm gonna have to fold out on this the rest of this story because A, we're coming up on a break, and B, it just gets so much more heady. It gets in over my head. Like up until this point, I can kind of follow along about the consciousness theory, like, but then it starts going down like some serious, like you got to have PhDs. To understand.
Well, and do particles behave differently when they're being watched? Like, when they are being observed and part of somebody else's consciousness, is that how, I don't know, it's like how it all plays together. It is mind-blowing. And if they're not being watched, do they exist?
You mean like if a tree falls in the woods kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a sound?
Does
if particles aren't being watched, do they exist?
Yeah.
I would assume so, based on, like, I'm not watching my car right now in the parking lot, but it's there.
But you watched it earlier when you drove it here, you know?
Yeah, but I guess you're right. I mean, I'm not looking at it right now.
You don't know.
I don't know if it's there.
You don't know.
So you're saying, does it only appear when my eyes fall upon where it should be?
Yes, that's sort of...
In the handicap spot right now. There's nobody else here in the building. It's okay. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes, you know, what else can we do when we're feeling low? So take a deep breath and let it go. You shouldn't be drowning on your own. And if you feel you're sinking, I will jump right over into cold, cold water for you.
How we grow, Erica. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. You can also pick us up on joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. Or speakingofstrange.com. Or via your iHeartRadio app, which I hope you have installed on your phone. They're going to be doing this thing on the iHeartRadio app. It might be this weekend or next weekend. I should probably have looked that up. Where they're giving you the entire Keys to the Kingdom for free. Get to all the upper tier things of the app, like getting to save songs in the playlist, getting whole albums and stuff like that. They're letting you check it out for free. So that's pretty cool because it can do some neat stuff. Like you hear a song, if you're listening to a live radio station, say, and you hear a song you like, you can just hit a button and it downloads the song directly into a cloud for you. It's crazy. Back when we were growing up, we had Walkmans.
Remember? They were yellow and waterproof.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. Remember, like the yellow Walkman, and it was mm-hmm. the sports Walkman. Now, technically, I think it was water resistant.
Yeah,
you weren't supposed to go scuba diving with it on, but you could wear it in the shower, and that was pretty dope.
Really, I didn't ever do that.
You never wore it in the shower?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that was big time. I had borrowed one from a friend of mine because, like, we didn't have sports Walkman kind of money growing up. You know what I'm saying? And it had, like, the rubber seal, the gasket on there. You
yeah.
know? That was pretty cool stuff. I have a pretty decent collection of vintage Walkmans now.
Do you now?
I do. And that's why I have all the ladies. Ladies, if you're out there listening, if you'd ever like to come over and check out my vintage Walkmans and or tape recorders, I have a lot of portable tape recorders.
And what other things do you have at your house, Sam?
Oh, my house is a museum where people come to see them. It really is a scream. You've been to my house before. You know, it's like
I know. You collect all sorts of things.
It's like a mini museum.
It is a mini museum.
Yeah. I got the Visible Woman the other day.
What? Tell me about that.
The Visible Woman, she came out in like 1962 or something, and she was a model. Remember like when you were in science class and they had like that anatomically correct torso or whatever you could take the lungs out of? And the
Yeah.
It's like that. She's a clear, see-through body with a skull. You take the cranium off. There's a brain in there. You can pull her lungs out.
How big is she?
Oh, about, I don't know, like a foot and a half tall.
Oh, that's good.
And but I don't have any instructions. So I don't know the body well enough to, like, get the lower intestines and the small intestines and all that in there. But it did come.
You're like, sorry, lady.
It says
you don't
I started putting it together. You got to paint it too. You got to paint the organs. This one comes with a. It's the option. It has two different bellies. It has normal, regular belly and pregnant belly. It also has a fetus that you can take in and out. It's pretty wild.
What do you do with it when you're when it's not in?
You put it. You put it in like, your. If you have a dinner guest, you put it in their salad. And just surprise them. With that. Is that a fit? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So, ladies, it's come over,
crunchy.
Check out the Walkmans and the fetuses over at Sam's house. So, anyway, sports Walkmans to be used in water, right? Now, you hear the story about Cape Town, South Africa this week. This is nutty. I've always said that, like, you know, when people talk about the zombie apocalypse or, you know, like, remember Y2K?
Yes.
Everybody was, like, hoarding. You know, water and, you know, canned goods.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who was like, even had a place like, I know where I'm going to go, man. You got to go up high because you got to see down so you can have like a sniper's perch and you can take out anybody who's going to try to claim your territory and all this.
My parents had a hardware store then. We sold so many air compressors that year. Or not air compressors, but compressors. Because people were generators.
Generators.
That's it. Generators.
Because people really wanted the
compressed air.
Air power sand.
The blast off.
We are going to get rid of this Y2K bug with compressed air.
And batteries.
And batteries. But I've always said that, you know, it's all fun and games until you run out of water. Like, you know, like we can live without... you know, without food for a while. And you can live without sleep longer than you might think. But water, you know, you're going to start, like, when you get thirsty and you don't have water, you're going to, like, slit somebody's throat, no problem, to get some water. And we take it for granted. So, like, much of the things that have to do with the environment, we just take for granted that they're going to be there always. That we will always be able to go to Ingles and just get, you know, a case of, you know, bottled water. Of Aquafina or whatever, or always be able to turn on that shower. Think about the people in Puerto Rico. You know, still, like over 50% of them don't have power and are living with no or limited water. You know, and that's like a country. And, you know, if we don't have Wi-Fi for 5 minutes, we like lose our crap. You know, we're just like, ah!
That's true.
And so now think about this. I mean, a major city, this isn't like, you know, this isn't like, you know, some tiny town. This is a city, Cape Town, South Africa, the second biggest city in South Africa. 4 million people is about to run out of fresh water. And this is not a hypothesis. This is not a conjecture. This is reality. After 3 years of persistent drought, the government is warning that day zero. That just sounds ominous right there. Have a real life day zero.
Yeah, that's
you don't even need to
ominous.
Know what it is. It's just like, I don't want day zero.
To be,
but it's going to happen. April the 16th, that is day zero for Cape Town. That's when the reservoirs and water sources are forecast to hit 13.5% capacity, at which point the city is expected to move most residents to a strict water rationing system. They're already on a very, you know, strict water rationing system. I think they're allowed 50 liters a day per person, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 15 gallons. And there was a breakdown of, like, what you can do with that much water a day. It's like, I mean, you're taking 30-second showers, you know. You're taking, you have one bowl of water for the dog. You have, like, X amount, you know, you can wash X amount of dishes. And you can have, like, 1 2-liter bottle of water for drinking per day, you know, like that. And so locals are beginning to store water in jugs, and they're starting to, you know, get, you know, okay, too little too late, they're realizing. As they've been told about this for years, but nobody's been rationing because that's what we do. No, we don't pay attention till it's too late. Like my body,
the time and the consciousness.
My
the
body
time,
is
space.
Falling apart. Should I have done something about it years ago? Like at the beginning of like, oh, you know, I'm having these pains. Probably should have. Now I'm like crippled. Like my back, I can, you know, too little, too late. So those who can afford it are boring mini backyard wells to collect private water stashes. This leads to like a Kevin Costner movie, like Water World or something. Or like a Mad Max scenario where like water is the currency, you know? Like,
yeah.
Some hotels are investing in pricey desalination plants.
That seems like a viable solution.
It seems like it. But when you really start getting down to it, it's a much, much more difficult chore. than one would think to just remove
the salt.
Yeah. It's like how much of the earth is made up of water? A massive. I was listening to Joe Rogan recently. They were talking about how, you know, we think that we are like all that in a bag of chips, you know, like, but in reality, we're just these tiny little specks of dirt that are floating amidst, you know, all water. Like, we're just all surrounded by water on the whole earth, and we're just little blips of, you know, islands of dirt here and there. And so, like, all the animals in the sea, like, what if they overtook everything?
It's
what if we were ruled by
walruses?
Okay. It's an odd one to jump straight to. Walry. Is that the plural of walrus? Walry?
I definitely don't know the answer to that.
No, then you shouldn't have brought it up. So, so we're looking at that in South Africa. And then I read this pops up in The Feed. This, again, from Motherboard. Why we as a people continue to buy bottled water when, you know, we live in a country that is blessed with the ability to just flip on a tap. And, you know, like, I remember moving here in 1990 from Clearwater, Florida, a name that did not really have clear water.
I've been there.
You have? Oh, my G.
I have.
OMG-ish. But, like, when we were growing up, this sounds, like, stupid. When we came up here and we were looking, you know, Dad was looking for a place to work, whatever. Me and my sisters thought it was so cool that we could turn on a faucet and get a glass and that, like, clear water would come out of it. Because, like, we grew up with, it was brown would come out of the faucet, you know? It was like, yeah, it was gross water. And we're like, oh, my goodness, look, you can see through this.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, like, most countries, think about how, like, a lot of places don't have the access to any water. They have to walk, you know, miles a day to get, you know, India's dealing with, you know, so many people and not enough water. And we just, you know, like, I took a 20-minute shower today. You know, like, we don't think about that a lot. We're coming up on a break. When we come back from that, like, I want to get more into not just why we are, you know, blessed. A lot of times, like, we're very blessed, and we don't often think or appreciate how blessed we are. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, Sam.
We should be thankful more often than we are. Like, it's easy to go down the road and just be like, oh, wah, woe is me. I have it so crappy. And in reality, we don't really have it that crappy at all.
Life is good.
Life is not as bad as we make it seem sometimes.
Life can even be good.
What was the Roberto Benigni? Life is beautiful.
Life is beautiful.
That wasn't real. What was his name? I don't
Umberto.
Remember. That wasn't no. Umberto. That's a guy that makes breadsticks in the frozen
Delicious.
Foods. Uncle Umberto. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where we're
where breadsticks are beautiful.
Where breadsticks are beautiful on News Radio 570, WWNC, and JoshuaPWarren.com, SpeakingofStrange.com, and your iHeartRadio app. We'll be right back.
Holding on to what's golden.
On the stage I rage and I'm rolling.
Melancholy mundane, sauteed a hot flame. Big rings, fat chains, they all quest for the same. No name, huge fame, strictly new to the thing. We stay true to the game and never bring it to shame. We tight like dreadlocks, a red fox and ripple. We pass participles and smash the artists in you. The saga continues, this I won't get into, cause there ain't enough bars to hold the drama that we've been through. Yo, we still
the same with the little. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC and at joshuapwarren.com. SpeakingofStrange.com. Sam the Animal Steel here with you. Co-host, guest host tonight, Erica Jane. We're tight like Red Fox and Ripple. Oh my goodness, this is the final segment of the hour. Then we get into, now I don't know if you're familiar with this, Erica. You're familiar with the Dark 30 Hour.
Tell me a little bit more about the Dark 30 Hour.
Let me tell you a little bit more about the Dark 30 Hour. The Dark 30 Hour, if there are, now, how old are your kids now?
They're
growing up.
6 and 13.
Now, you know, like for the 13-year-old, that would be fine. She could listen to the Dark 30. You know, kids these days, they're pretty accustomed to a little bit of, when I say lewd and lascivious, in the Dark 30, I'm talking like PG-13.
PG-13.
Yeah,
okay.
PG-13, you know. But, you know, how many kids, honestly, are listening to AM radio, you know, on a Saturday night at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, then they might need to hear a little more
if they are,
PG-13 in their lives.
I'd like to meet them because they're probably pretty cool.
I think so.
Yeah. But, the Dark 30 Hours where we get into, you know, you see those stories under, like, weird news, and you're like, what? What she chopped off is what? And, you know, you know, a lot of, you know, stories involving Walmart, usually in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, those stories where it's like, you know, somebody in Walmart did this, and you're like, that just doesn't even faze me anymore. In this society, this world that we live in these days, a lot of this stuff doesn't even faze you anymore.
Yeah, I've had weird things happen in the Walmart parking lot.
Oh, really? What's happened to you in the Walmart parking lot?
Well, this lady followed me.
Okay.
Followed me. I was driving this Jeep. It's from 1991. It's a collector's Jeep. You know, it's a stick.
Oh, I think I've seen the Jeep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Jeep, and it's got Bluetooth, so it's kind of like a nice feeling. Like, it's like the throwback solidarity of quality in America, and then also, you know, you can just
I thought those Jeeps were well-known for always having problems.
So far, no problems. Okay. But, I mean, it only has, like, 100,000. I mean, it's a collector's Jeep. That's the thing.
That's so low mileage for a 91.
But there's this thing about a 91 where I think it hits this part of people's brains where they're like, is that a piece of crap or is that a collector car? Either people only believe one or the other. They're like, that is a cool car. Or you get people that...
Like, I think 91...
Follow you into the Walmart parking lot and told me, well, and then told me I was a terrible driver and that I better watch myself.
To be fair, you totally are.
Lady, you better watch yourself. And it was crazy. I've never had that happen before. Like, no one's ever followed me. I've had people roll down the windows.
Cat call.
Use fingers sometimes. Tell me their opinions, but I've never had anybody like literally follow me, park next to me, roll down the window. And
it's amazing how ballsy people get when they're in a cage of steel, like they're in a car and they think they're invincible.
She had kids in the car. Like who? Yeah. Like I could have had a concealed weapon.
She doesn't know your
but
day.
I did not.
She didn't know how your day was going.
No, she didn't know.
You could have just got fired. Could have just found out you had like a disease or something. Somebody could have died, and then she comes up and wanted to tell you that you suck at driving, and you'd be like, okay, well, I want to tell you something, lady. But no, like, people are in a car behind a wheel. They just think they're impervious to anything.
It was...
Not the case.
Wild.
I had my first gun pulled on me in a car because I had a little too much bravado when I was a youth.
Oh, yeah?
And I kind of, maybe there was a hand gesture, or maybe they're like, you know, I yelled something at a guy. Next thing I know, he's next to me on 240, hanging out the window with his girlfriend, holding back, screaming at him, like, no, no. He's pointing a gun at me. I was like 16.
You drive like a crazy person.
Whatever.
You do.
But I drive well, though. I basically...
You do.
I drive well. I'm not like...
Gas brake. Oh, wait.
Not wantonly, like, just crazy. But, like, if you're going 50 in the left lane, I'm going to ride you until you – I'm going to Richard Petty you out of the way. Remember back in, like, the 90s? It's funny you talk about the 91. Is it a piece of crap or collector's item? you know, like, the LeBaron would be a piece of crap. Right. Like, I'm thinking a 91 Chrysler. No, it's not really doing it. But a 91, like, Dodge Stealth or Mitsubishi 3000 – that would be like, okay, collector's item. I know a guy who's got like a Mitsubishi 3000, 90, 91, probably only got like 25, 30,000 miles on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know a guy who's got a like a 80-something Subaru Brat in a barn with barely any miles on it.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, yeah. You know how cool that would be to just have like a brand new old stock Subaru Brat?
That would be pretty badass.
Subaru Brats, they were... Oh, that's okay. Subaru Brats were kind of... they were overlooked at the time. It seemed really stupid, you know? They were like, they had two seats in the back. I was like, what is it? It's a Subaru station wagon with seats in it? Now it's like, how cool is that?
I know. Let's all get one of those.
Then it wouldn't be cool anymore. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. When we come back from this break, we're going to delve into the seedier side of things. I know, the seedier side of things, where me and Erica live in the dark 30 hour on Speaking of Strange, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. We'll be right back. Prepare yourselves.